Okay, we are in chapter 12 at the beginning here on the top. Actually, it's not, it's in the middle of the page, on page 449, 450. This is one of the more famous Tzedakah letters. I'm not going to say it's the last one, but it might be. It's like up there. There is this, but there's only one more. In this one, there are some very esoteric rationale reasoning behind the giving of Tzedakah. And we will, without any further introduction, we will allow the Alter Rebbe to explain. So it says, he's quoting a verse. And the verse is from Yeshaya. It says, V'hayamaisa hastaka shalom. The work of, or the action of tzedakah is peace. V'avaydis ha-tzedakah hashkeit v'avetach ad olam. And the work, the toil of tzedakah is security and trust forever. So we have here, the Alter Rebbe is going to divide this into two parts, which are four. It's a very common thing in Gemara that you have two that are four. Many Mishnayos that start like that. It says first you have something called Maisa HaTzedakah, the action of tzedakah. Mm-hmm. And the reward for the action of tzedakah is shalom, is peace. And now we're going to go into great length. What does peace mean? Then you have something called avodas tzedakah. That avoda is obviously much more intense than maisa. Maisa means you just did it. Avoda means intense toil. That's what the word avoda means. There's something in there. Okay? There's an intense effort. And the reward for that is security and trust. And then the pasuk goes on to tell you that with avoda tzedakah, that not only do you get what you get, but you get it ad olam, you get it forever. So it seems like there's an advantage over avodas tzedakah, because the ramifications are forever. But then, so what's the difference between shalom and hashkeit v'avetach? Shalom means peace, like you have two warring factions and not warring anymore. And hashkeit, from the word shekin, means quiet, means there's nothing to worry about ever. There never was any war at all to begin with. So the avodas tzedakah is going to be on a higher level. So he says right clearly, Lahav and Hefesh bein Maisa la Vaidu bein Shalom la Hashkeit v'Vetach. Kulu. It says that to understand the difference between what's the difference between action and working, and what's the difference between peace and security surety. And he says there's a Kulu over there, etc. The et cetera goes on the word ad olam, forever. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go on a tangent. Okay? And what we're going to talk about now is where else do we have some sort of an expression about peace. And by understanding this lengthy explanation about some other instance of peace being made, so we'll understand how it is that Maisa Hatzedakah fits in with peace. And then when we get done with that, so then we'll understand what's more to make it Avoda Hatzedakah. It's going to take a couple of times to get through this chapter, a couple of lessons. So it says, well, first, we'll have to first explain Alpi Masha Marizal, Al Pasuk Oisir Shalom Bimraimav, that he makes peace among the heavens. The Rebbe quotes this as coming from Medrash Rabbah, and there's a place in the Zohar that it quotes the pasuk, or the idea that Ha'isah Shalom B'mraimav, which was a pasuk that we say every day in davening, like every day, three, four times a day, that he makes, and after every kaddish, he makes peace in the heights. Ki mechoyer sar shal mayim, o gevril sar shal esh, ve'ein mechavin zeh zeh. You have Mechoyel, who is the minister of water, and Gavriel, who is the minister of fire, and they don't extinguish one another. We'll stop right there. It's not to say that Mechoil is Mayim, is water, and Gevriel is fire, and that Hashem is taking fire and water and mixing them together, and guess what? They're not extinguishing one another. That's not what this is. But rather, Mechoil and Gevriel are referred to as archangels, meaning primary angels. We've talked before that angels, what angels are. Did we talk about it, I think, in the last week? Yeah, it's like not that long ago we talked about angels just being on-off switches. So
temporary.
Yeah, Mechoil and Gevriel are primary. Most angels are found in the realm of Yetzirah, which Yetzirah formation is a... he says back in chapter 16 that Yetzirah is an emotional expression. If a person, for example, serves Hashem and with an emotional expression of love and fear, so then his service to Hashem rises to the world of Yetzirah. And his Gan Eden, so to speak, is going to be in the world of Yetzirah. His appreciation for all that he's done will be in the world of formation. What will he see? He'll see an emotional expression of godliness. That will be his quote-unquote reward in the world to come. That since he served Hashem in an emotional way, so his reward, which was really the ramifications of his actions, since they're an expression of emotion, so he receives an expression of emotion. I mean, the expression schar mitzvah, mitzvah, the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah, and since his mitzvahs were done emotionally, so he gets his reward, so to speak. His connection is made emotionally. Mechoil and Gevriel in the world of Bria. There are four primary angels, and they correspond to Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, and Malchus. Okay, and they're given the names Mechoil, Gevriel, Raphael, and Uriel. And when we say that these two angels now are these ministers, what does a minister do? Like the minister of education, for example, doesn't educate anybody. No. Okay? The minister of education is there to make sure that other people educate people.
Distributor of resources.
That's their deal. The minister of defense doesn't defend anybody. The minister of defense is there to distribute whatever is necessary so that defense mechanisms can be put in place. So it's not to say that Mechoil is Chesed and Gevriel is Gevura. He calls them right here. He calls them Sars, but it's quoting the Medrash. Sorry, the Medrash sitting here. Sar Shel Mayim. Sar. He's the minister of water. Water is analogous of kindness, because just as kindness is a flowing and giving and causes growth and life, so water is also the same deal. Water is analogous of kindness. And fire causes things to break down, you might say, into their component parts. Gevura is also very limiting. So, and you would therefore say that since it's just like the Alter Rebbe quotes concerning the elemental source of fire. Back in chapter 19, the Alter Rebbe mentions that fire rises to its source, which is in the Yisoid Ha'esh Shetachas Galgal HaYareach, the element of fire, that the element of fire is not on fire. The root of fire. It's where fire comes from. So where fire comes from is not fire, because that would be fire then. It's not where fire comes from. It's from where whence fire comes. So Gavriel is not Gevura, but it's from where Gevura comes. So then this is then they are in, if you're putting them in the in your GPS coordinates, so Gavriel and Mechoel are in Olam HaBriya, which Olam HaBriya is the world of, the realm of thought. It is analogized in the Kabbalah with the letter He. Yetzilus is with, analogized with a Yud, Bria with a creation with a He. Yetzira, formation with a Vav, which the Vav corresponds to the six emotions of Zeranpim, of Chesed, Gvura, Teferis, etc. And Asiya, the world of realm of action with the He, which is Malchus. So Bria is the first He, which is an expression of understanding, which is thought. What is in Olam HaBriya is referred to in Kabbalah terminology as Efsharius HaMetzius, the possibility of an existence. It's called the world of creation. So you would think, what's in the world of creation? Creatures.
Potentials.
If it is in the world of Yetzira, you have Yetzirois, you have forms. So in the world of Bria, you must have Briais. No, it doesn't work that way. Because the world of Bria, a Bria means is a concrete thing. A creation is only in this world, is where you have creations. In the world of Bria, why is it called Bria? Why is it called the world of creation? If there are no creations there, is because it's the first realm in the creation process that you have an entity that recognizes its own existence. The fact that you can even say Sar shel mayim and Sar shel esh, that this is one's from where, from whence water is going to come, and this is where fire is going to come, that means that it's not Elokus. In the realm higher than Bria, which is Atzilus, what is there? It's totally a complete 100% Elokus. 10 manifestations of the infiniteness of Hashem. And there's nothing there that's saying, I'm here, pick me. You know, I'm a thing. No, it's only just infinite levels of godliness. Bria is the first step in the creation process where something says, oh, no, I'm not godliness. I'm the minister of water. I'm the minister of kindness. Is there any kindness there yet? No, there's no kindness there yet. So what's in the Chiddush? If Mechoel is not drowning and Gavriel's not inflamed, so what's the big deal? Make peace. If you were to put it into that terminology, is you have, he talks about it before in the Mems, something called intellectual love and fear. The person sits and meditates. The first step in the meditation process is that he arouses an intellectual love and fear. So the intellectual love and fear is not felt in the heart. It's an expression of brain. It's an expression of intellect. So when we say Oiseh Shalom Bimraimav, that he makes peace there, is because if a person understands, which is where the intellect is leading, is coming from, that's what the expression is, a person understands, oh, I love this. So the natural movement, therefore, even if the person doesn't feel it emotionally, is going to be drawn towards it. I love this. And if a person senses the gevura of something, people run away from fire. So they're going to sense an expression of gvura, so that's going to be repellent. I wouldn't say repulsive, that's the wrong word, but they'll be repelled from it. They will want to stay away from it, even if it is only just an intellectual experience. Okay? Like, I could explain to you in great depth how some specific physical item is really good. To the point where you, and you've never had it before, and to the point where you would say, yeah, I really got to try that. Or, that's why people read reviews. You know, is this restaurant or a good restaurant? Should I spend my time and money there? Well, you read what somebody else said. And if somebody says, you know, this place is a real dive. You know, the famous Woody Allen line. The food was terrible and the portions were small. You know, so you're going to stay away from it. So it's there's an intellectual connection. You don't have an emotional experience yet. The emotional experience only really comes when you see, yeah, the food was bad, the portions were small, the service was lousy, the joint was dirty.
You had to be there for the emotion.
So that was where you have to really be, you have to get your hands into it to really experience the emotion. This is now just an you can't say just, because you're talking about Mechoyel and Gavriel.
That's why Yetzira connects with Asiya. Because it then.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, but Bria connects with Yetzira.
Both comes. Leads to.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Kalimer, meaning to say, Shemachoyel sar shal mayim hanikr b'shem mayim hayardim ha'makam ha'gavoy l'makam namach. Why is Mechoyel called? Mechoyel is called the minister of kindness, and kindness is called water. Why is kindness called water? That just like water descends from a high place to a low place. He mentioned this way back when in chapter 4. Kindness is what is causing the godliness to flow from the higher realms to the lower realms.
Yeah.
In such that it's maintaining its integrity, that all the way down, by the time that it comes to this physical world and is manifest as H2O molecules that are stuck together in an aqueous solution, so people are drawn towards it. Somebody who is thirsty is drawn towards water. Okay, we're familiar with, there's this famous story. I think I told the story not too long ago. That the Rebbe was living in Paris, and he lived 3 miles away from the Sorbonne, either 3 miles or 4 miles. And the Rebbe never walked outside without a hat or jacket. And he came in the Paris summer. He walked home. And it's 104 degrees.
Right.
And he took a glass of water. And before he was about to drink it, he said, with one cold glass of water, you could lose 15 years of working on yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So that, why? Because there's this natural longing for water. Okay. You can understand that a person's really parched to go knocking back a glass of water. No big deal. Listen. But that point of that story is that a person has to use their head and keep in mind, why is it that they're doing it? It's not just to fulfill some bodily need, even such a bodily need that if it was me, 3 miles, if I were to walk 3 miles with my hat and jacket in the heat like that, I would pretty much be close to passing out. I don't tolerate heat well. And I would probably have had some sort of heat stroke already and probably be confined to bed with like ice cubes on my head, and I'd be a cooked goose.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kindness. Kindness is it's a flowing of godliness. Ubachinus Eish, we said that Gavriel was the Sar Shel Eish, the minister of fire, the minister of Gevura. Shetiva la'ilus la'mayla, fire points up. It's going upward constantly.
Okay.
The flames are always flickering up. But hubachinus ha'gevura, that's gevura. What does gevura do? Histalkus hashpa. We usually refer to gevura as tzimtzum, contraction, containment. But when you think, what is really happening when you have gevura? A good example of gevura would be, as opposed to chesed, would be his famous move in karate, pulling your punch. Okay? To follow through with a punch, that's straight, that's chesed. There's a weird way of looking at it. Because chesed is saying go and give.
Right.
To pull back the chayis so that the punch isn't going all the way through, that takes gevura.
Right.
So to pull back on the punch actually takes more than the actual punch itself. Does that make sense? You look at me like I'm kind of
back. It takes more energy to
it takes. So what happens? So what happens to the energy by gevura? The energy is being removed.
Removed, correct.
So where is it going? Energy doesn't just get, that just doesn't get removed. It's going back.
Back into its source.
It's going back to where it came from. When you're right. pulling back that, when you're going forward, and then you suddenly pull back, so there's a contraction, a containment of the muscle that's pulling the arm back.
Hmm.
That's what's happening with the hashpah when you're talking about gevura. The gevura is not letting the chayas come down. So where, if it's not coming down, where's it going? It's going up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going back. Shaloi lahashpia, that shouldn't come flowing down. Rak bitzimsum otzum verav. What is the result of it? Is that you have an immense contraction and containment of the energy.
Yeah.
Okay, so that when a person gets hit by somebody who's pulled their punch, it's like they can walk away from it.
Right.
Okay, they can deal with it, they can live with such a thing. Whereas a person right. who doesn't pull their punch, they're going to be on the ground.
Right.
Okay, Vehain Ragbit Simsum Otsum, that's the deal. I know the example seems exactly opposite.
Yes, it does.
Because that's what we're trying to do. It's because ultimately, as we said in Shar Yichud V'Emunah in chapters 11 and 12, that the whole purpose of the Tzimtzum, the whole purpose of the Helam, the whole purpose of the concealment
is to allow,
is allow there to be revelation.
Allow us to exist.
Yeah, yeah. Allow revelation.
Right, correct.
Okay, if you're talking about...
Tolerable revelation.
Yeah, if you're talking about two guys in a karate fight, so they don't want to kill each other.
Right.
But they do want to score the points. They want to show, I know how to do this.
Right.
Okay? And it's just enough to be able to show that they know how to do it...
Right.
Without killing their partner.
Without killing the guy.
Right.
Okay? So that's enough. That's a usable, livable something or another.
Right.
Okay. The hay need is gevuras v'hafchazulazu, and now so that's hay need is nagdius. Excuse me. These are opposite forces.
Yeah.
What mechoyel is doing, what gevuril is doing, they're in opposition one to the other. One saying go, and the other one saying don't. The hayneke shehenu v'hinis midas levadin. That's only when they're just an expression of kindness and severity.
Yeah.
Which is much later. Your kindness is saying, I really want to give. Your gvura is saying, you don't want to give at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So at that point, you have a conflict. Do I give? Do I not give? I really want to give, and you really shouldn't be giving.
Yeah.
Okay, so how does it all come, how's it going to work out then? So what he says, so in the root, where they are, so they're, you know, ultimately... Mechoyel and Gavriel are rooted in Chesed and Gevurah Vitzilus.
Right.
Because everything comes from Vitzilus.
Right, right, right.
Right. If you look, for example, in Pirkei Avos you have the Masorah.
Yes.
Moshe gave it to Yoshua. Yoshua gave it to the elders. The elders gave it to the prophets. The prophets gave it to the men of the great assemblage. And then you have Shimon HaTzadik is the last one. And then suddenly we have pairs
right.
that come up.
Right.
You know, Yoshi ben Yezer, Yoshi ben Yishsoche, etc., all these different combinations. Right. And everybody's fine. Everybody's happy. It's not until we get to Shmaya and Avtalin, who are teaching Hillel and Shammai.
Right.
Suddenly now, Hillel and Shammai, we see there's a fork, there's a differentiation.
Right.
Where did the fork and differentiation actually occur? It occurred back with the two Yaisis, six generations prior.
Mm.
But it was very, very slight then.
Subtle.
Because it wasn't slight. It wasn't enough of a differentiation between the two Yaisis to say, well, this one holds like this and this one holds like that. There were an agreement on everything.
Right.
But it was a different way of looking
subtleties.
At it.
Subtleties.
It was a different way of looking at it. So by the time now, each one of these little movements of divergence don't actually appear until we get to Hillel and Shammai.
Yeah.
That Hillel finally said, you could do something. And Shammai said, no, you can't.
Right.
And Hillel and Shammai, there are only three arguments between the two. They agree on everything. But there's three arguments. Where do we see the difference? It's Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai.
Right.
They're students. And Beis Hillel didn't stop at the students that Hillel taught. Beis Hillel was a whole school of philosophy that it extended for a century or two,
right,
as was the case with Beis Shammai.
Right.
Okay, the philosophies extended for quite a while, such that there was such a divergence that, we have in Masechet Idiyos, the whole thing that Beis Shammai got tired of getting voted out, so they called the... They told them we're going to vote on halacha tomorrow at 10. They all showed up at 9 and locked the doors. And they voted in. The halacha is like us today. We got tired of 15 halachas they voted on. Okay? Judeo-politics at its best.
Indeed.
But the interesting thing with all that is Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. They're both right.
Correct. And it's
both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are right.
And it's not a problem.
Okay? Yeah. We say that Hanukkah is an abbreviation for Ches Neiros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. You heard that one? Yeah. Okay.
I don't think of it a lot, but yeah.
Eight candles, and we do it like the Yeshiva of Hillel says, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Huh.
As opposed to Beis Shammai that says 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right.
Okay? So why is there this divergence? Is because their paths took them on divergent paths within a single starting point.
Right.
They all went back to Shimon HaTzadik.
Right.
He was the one from whence the divergence comes.
He was the Kohen, right, for 8 years. Uh huh. That's him.
Yeah, he was. Okay. He was. I'd be happy to have him as a Rebbe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
So, anyway. So, they are oppositional as they're coming down, as they're being expressed. But in their source, in their root, they're exactly the same.
They're one, yeah.
It's one thing. You have the same thing going on right with Yaakov and Esav in Parshas Vayishlach.
Mm.
Okay? We have this whole big fight that goes on to the point where it's actually a fight. Yaakov is wrestling with an angel,
yeah.
And Esav is ready for war. Okay, because in their primary source there's conflict.
Mm.
Okay, Tohu versus Tikkun,
mm.
But where does Tohu and Tikkun come from?
Yeah,
Tohu and Tikkun also come from a higher level
sure
than
they
that.
Do. Sure
so
they
from
do.
In the higher level, you call it Rab's Law. You could call it Ak, whatever you want to call it. You can call it, what's it called? Atika Kedisha, whatever the source of these two levels are. In their source, there's only one. It's only when it starts developing that there's this right divergence such that one comes down as good, the other one comes down as evil.
Mm.
So in their root, they're exactly the same.
Mm.
Hence the expression in the Zohar, Tov Zayetzahara, Tov Ma'ed Zayetzahara. When it says that in the creation the Hashem saw that it was good, yeah, that refers to the creation of the Yetzer Tov.
Yeah.
When he in the creation he saw the Zet Tov Ma'oida, this is very good.
Very good.
That refers to the Yetzer Hara.
Yeah.
Because the Yetzer Hara is not there to be bad.
No.
The Yetzer Hara is there to make us stronger and overcome and make more godliness
proves
to come into
what's
the world.
Good. Proves
yeah, to make more godliness come into the world.
Proves what's good. Yeah.
Because in its source, where's the Yetzer Hara coming from? The whole purpose of Yetzer Hara is in order to be able to draw more godliness down,
yeah,
because of it.
Right.
And Esav also, we have was talked about in Lakuti Torah, in Torah Ur at great length,
mm,
about the eight kings that are mentioned at the end of the portion of Vayishlach,
mm,
that were kings before there was a king in Israel,
mm,
referring to the different levels of Tohu.
Mm.
So all of that was levels of godliness as it's coming down being manifest here.
Right.
Okay, but in their source, it's all Elokus. It's all right. It's all the way it's supposed to be. So in its source, there's no problem. There's no need to be making peace because there's no conflict.
Right.
Okay, it's only as it's manifest down here when there's a divergence. Achakadosh Baruch Hu Oyser Shalom B'neihem. Okay, so there's conflict. You want to even say like in Berea, where you have a separation, that you have something called a minister of water and a minister of fire. Mm. So there is a separation, there is a diversion, there are divergent paths. And Hashem, it says at that point, makes peace between them. Mm. So that they're not in conflict one with the other.
I can't figure out, if they all eventually come from Hashem, how could there ever be a conflict unless it was designed that way?
You're thinking too high. Start thinking simple. Think from the bottom up.
Yeah.
Fire extinguishes water, and water puts out fire.
Right. Only because that was
determined. That's the way it's here.
That's the way it is here. Right. Right.
Correct. You know, so if it's the way it's here, those characteristics also carry all the way up too.
Right.
There must be intrinsic characteristics in the very nature of water and the very nature of fire, which are not expressed in nature and fire, but it's just the very essential of what they are, that are in opposition one to the other. As we see that kindness and severity, chesed and gevura, have totally different tenuas. They're different ways of working. One says give, one says hold back.
Right.
Okay, so Hashem says, well, get them to work together. And how is that? Yeah. So how do you get them to work together? Well, you've got one force going right and one force going left, and you want to join the two together. What do? You need a higher force, which is stronger than both of them, to hold them together. Mm. So when it says that Isa Shalom Bimraima, that Hashem makes peace between the two, what is there now? So there's an introduction of godliness, which is higher than both Chesed and Gevur. Mm-hmm. And that causes there to be this amalgamation such that the two are working in tandem.
It's usable force. Right?
If you want to say you want to call it Teferis, you could do that, because how does Teferis come about? What's Teferis? Teferis is the perfect blend of kindness and severity. On the kindness, in all the sphere charts, you see that you have the little circles, and Teferis is in the circle in the middle, underneath Chesed and Gevura. But there's lines going from Chesed to Teferis,
right,
and from Gevura to Teferis,
right,
because Teferis is a perfect amalgam,
right.
It's a perfect. It's called in some of the translations, called Teferis harmony.
Ah,
okay, because it's a mixture of both. He's going to talk about that now, and but on the other hand, it could just very well be, as he said back in chapter 11 and 12 in Shariyot Vamuni, you have something called Hamtakas HaGevurois, that the Gevura remains Gevura. But now it's usable Gevura.
Right.
The sweetening.
The same thing with kindness.
The what do you call it? The bridling of kindness.
Right.
The binding of kindness.
Right.
Yeah. So that it's usable. It's the same deal.
Same deal, right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
What is it? It's the infiniteness of Hashem. Shikishmo Kenhu, Shainabhis Midachas Shalom. That as his name is applies, in order to bind these two basically limited forces together, you need some sort of unlimited force.
Right.
Because they're both going in the opposite direction. So you need something greater.
Right.
Where is this godliness coming from, which is holding together kindness and severity, that they should be able to work together, is even greater than an intellectual expression. Because intellect tells you this should be kind and this should be severe.
Yeah.
That's what your intellect does. Your intellect is where the divergence is coming from.
Right.
That's your Shmayan of Italian.
Right.
Okay, that's making the Hillel and Shammai.
Right.
They're the intellectuals. They're the intellect, rather, where you have now a discussion. Well, maybe this should be like this, maybe this should be like this. So that when you get to Hillel and Shammai, it's like, well, we're doing it this way and we're doing it this way. So from intellect, you don't get an admixture of kindness and severity. Mm. It's only when you start talking on higher levels than intellect. That's where you got to get things mixed together. Okay? And a physical example for that would be Chrein. Okay.
Yeah.
What's chrein? Chrein, bottom line, tastes terrible.
Yes.
But when you put a little beet in it, you put a little vinegar in it, some salt, whatever else they put into it, You put a little fish underneath it, which is the only reason why you have the fish there, is in order that you can have what to put the chorein on top of.
Right.
So then you go, wow, this is
that's excellent. Good stuff.
Yes, yeah. And it's not good unless it's burning the top of your head off.
Right, right, right.
You didn't take okay. it off.
Okay, so what is it that's saying that this is a good thing? If I were to say, I don't know, cause you, I mean, it's painful. And you're going, yeah, your eyes are tearing, your nose is just like, oh, my nose is burning.
Yeah.
Okay? What is it? Why is it doing that? Is because that expression of gevura is coming from tainug. It's coming from your personal
from pleasure, yeah.
It's coming from the inner aspect, the inner dimension of will and desire, which is pleasure.
Pleasure, right.
Okay, and your body has told you that this is pleasurable.
Right, right.
Okay, or maybe your brain has told you, your brain has told your body, I'm not exactly sure how it works, that this is something that really is pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Elamayla, in case the feel of the wind is chabad, makar amidus. But it's higher than, in order to sweeten the severities, you even have to be super rational about it. It has to tap right into intellect. Then what happens is opposing forces become unified in their source.
Right.
They just become melted together, you might say, by this greater force which is unifying them.
Mm.
As we've been saying along. Where? In their source. Because, what's that whole thing about, we're talking about Yaakov and the angel. What's going on over there?
Wells.
The first time somebody asked a question, I just like went, wow, no one in 30-something years that I'm teaching a Chumash, no one ever asked me, wait a minute, why didn't Yaakov just give a whistle and the angels came running and they would take care of the Esav's angel?
Right, 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 right.
Okay?
No way.
Yeah, why not do that?
Because he what angels? This is God sent the angel.
What? But
Yaakov had angels at his disposal. He sent angels to Esav.
Not to change.
He sent angels to Esav, giving messages over there. Da da da, bada bing, and he said, God says, I got your back. I got the angels coming up, the angels coming down on the ladder, and the week before in Parshas Vayetze. So what's why don't you just give a whistle and say, hey angels, help me out over here?
Well, I wanted to ask it the other way. If he's wrestling all night with the angel, yet at the end the angel goes
dunk
to his thigh and it's out of place, what are you wrestling with?
I think it was
honestly, you're wrestling? Are you kidding me?
Physical wrestling.
You know,
I've always wondered about the... Because it seems like it's just kind of like he touched his thigh. I figured it was because he was straining himself for the whole night that it was like the whole vapid thing. In their source, Hein Lechadim Mamish, they become one unified force. You don't have one pulling one way, one pulling the other way. This is the whole deal with... to Gavriel, to Yaakov and the angel.
Yeah.
Okay, what was Yaakov trying to do? Yaakov was trying to deal with Esav's source and root.
Yes.
That he's going to deal with Esav, that's just a symptom.
Right.
That's like taking an aspirin for a headache.
Right.
Okay? But if the reason why you have a headache is you're tired, so don't take an aspirin, take a nap.
Right.
And the headache will go away.
Right.
So Yaakov was going to the root, so the angels wouldn't have helped.
Right.
Calling and going, shh, shh, hey, buddies, give me a hand over here with this guy.
Yeah, that wouldn't
have worked.
Right.
Okay, because this was Yaakov's deal,
right,
trying to unify with the source of Esav, because Esav's source was in Tohu, and Yaakov was trying to unify with that.
Right.
It didn't work.
Didn't work.
You couldn't get it, because what would have been the ultimate, what would have been the outcome? Mashiach would have come.
Right.
God said, okay, we're not going to have that. But
it's not time.
You know, oops. So. Ubatalim ba'ori is baruch, and they become nullified. Nullified doesn't mean they don't exist. We talked about nullified before. Nullified means that they lose their borders of separateness, such that they can become united. Hamer lahem v'chinas giloi, which the Hashem's light now shines with them in a revealed way. Azai nis mazigim. I love that word. They become mazig means to become. Like when you're mazig, you're mixing things together, but they become like incorporated. Uh-huh. They become one entity. Umitak min hagavuris b'chasadim, and you have a sweetening of the severities by the kindness. Adiduchinus mamutzas kav hamachriya umati klapi chesed humidas arachamim, and how does that happen? That's through the intermediary vein, which is leaning towards kindness, which we call that rachmanus.
Right.
Okay. So, what is the outcome then? If you have the severity sweetened so much by the kindness that it becomes a single entity, what does it become? It becomes teferis. It becomes harmony, truth, rachmanis. We talked about the difference between kindness, which is give, rachmanis means give appropriately, which means sometimes you'd have to hold back, or you'd have to hold back something to give appropriately. Okay. Hanikri b'shem teferes v'divrei chachmei ha'emes l'fishi he kalul l'mebeis gevanim lubin ve'edem on ha'mazes l'chesem gevura. Why is it that it's called teferes? Teferes means beauty.
Right.
Beauty can only be achieved, like a beautiful clothing. The example is beautiful clothing. Okay. You have on a nice shirt, but I wouldn't say it's a beautiful shirt.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's one solid color.
Right.
A beautiful piece of clothing, something that catches a person's eye, is when there's many colors.
A mixture of things, right.
Involved.
In a good
complement.
They have to complement.
Complement right. Each other.
Right. Each other.
Right.
Correct.
Yes.
You know, if you have layers of black, for example, which there are studies like that.
Right.
There's a very famous New Yorker magazine cover which came out the week after 9/11, where it's black. The cover is all black, and if you look at it, if you catch it just the right light, you look at it long enough, you catch it, you see that there's like a lighter shades of black, the shape of the Twin Towers within the black.
Uh-huh.
But looking at the cover, it's all black. Mm-hmm. Okay, I would say that's profound,
right?
But I wouldn't say it's beautiful,
right? Right.
In fact, it's not beautiful. It's something which is haunting,
right? Yeah. In that case, yes.
Yeah. So what do you have? Is you have to have the mixtures of the colors working in harmony and balance so that people go, wow, that's lovely.
Yeah. So in the case of Teferis, I was just contemplating this. Is it, for lack of better expression, you take two solids, throw them in a blender. The truth is that you don't end up with they're blended. You end up where you have minute bits of each one interspersed with one another.
No, with Teferis,
do you have a literal chemical,
you
as
have,
in a chemical change, where you have a different molecular form?
Correct. Okay. You have a new compound.
You have a new compound.
Or a new color. New colors spend light differently than the two colors.
Correct.
Say, were
correct.
Started
correct.
With.
Correct. So that's why when we're talking about colors that complement each other, that's not even the case in this.
Correct. Case. I was told when I first went to Morristown, in Yeshiva, we ate something on Friday night called tiger sauce.
Yeah.
Was tiger sauce. Tiger sauce is a mixture of chrein and mayonnaise. People call it chreinase, they call it a lot of kinds. We call it, for some reason, it was called tiger sauce.
Okay.
A little bit of garlic in it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You put it on top of the fish,
right.
And it covered the taste of the canned gefilte fish, is what we had.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we were told that why is it that we do this is because mayonnaise is white, analogous of kindness, and chrein is red, analogous of gevura, and you mix the two together, you get teferis, which is pink,
right.
And that's the good talk. Anyway,
yeah.
It's a good story.
Yeah, it's a good story. Gotta do
something. Stam shem havai baruch hu shebuchol haTorah meira al midas haTeferis. The Arizal went to great length, pointing out what the GPS address was for all those names of Hashem.
Hmm.
Generally, it's Aleph Lamed is in kindness, and Elohim is in Gevura, uh-huh. And Yud Kei Vav Kei is in Teferes,
okay.
And Shakai, Kael Shakai again appears in the Netzach and Hod and Savoyas is Yesod and Adonai is Malchus. But Yudke Vovke is also looked upon as being like the powerhouse behind them.
Right.
It's the Or as opposed to the Keli.
Right.
Is also Yudke Vovke.
Right.
You know, so he says, but the when anytime it says Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, it says the Vayomer Hashem.
Mm.
So what is that? That's Midas Rachmanis. It's always going to refer to Tiferes.
Tiferes.
Okay, yeah. And it says that Hashem made the Vayichal Elokim Beyom HaShivayim. What's the pasuk? That Hashem made the Shabbos. So there it's Yudkei Vavke made the Shabbos.
Right, right, okay.
Hashem made the creation. Elokim made the creation. That's an expression of Gevurah.
Right.
But Shabbos is an expression of Yudkei Vavke.
Right.
Does that mean it's an expression of Rachmanis? Tiferes. Kamo Shekosu B'Zayar, should explain to the Zohar. Because Rachmanis really conveys the greatest amount of influence more than any other attribute of Hashem. Because it's giving and containing in a proper fashion such that things can work properly.
That it's usable. Right.
Because kindness is not user-friendly.
Right.
You can drown somebody in kindness.
Yeah, exactly.
Severity is not user-friendly.
You can kill somebody with that.
Kill somebody with that. But you can't over-Rachmanis somebody. You can't over-truth them.
Yeah, yeah.
You say the truth will set you free, right? Yeah, yeah. So
it'll set you.
Okay.
All right.
This is where we're going to stop. We got up to the word Baruch on the middle of page 452 in the English. I think it's Blessed Attributes. Yeah, this is where we got up to. Now the arousal is where we got up to in the English. To be continued.
All right.